and welcome to the Climate Minute, your source for insight and perspective on global warming news. My name is Ted McIntyre. So recently, in the state of Massachusetts, a state program to reduce leaks from the natural gas pipes that run up and down the street has come under scrutiny. The program itself has a funny acronym. It's called GSEP, and GSEP stands for Gas System Enhancement Program. And it's basically a way that the state of Massachusetts allows the utilities, that is to say a company like Eversource, to recover the costs of fixing gas leaks, which you would think is a great thing. But when this program started out in 2014, I think I was probably applauding it as a great idea because methane leaks are dangerous because it might blow your house up. It's costing you money because the utility doesn't have to pay for the leaked gas. You pay for it. Surprise, surprise. And methane is a horrible greenhouse gas causing global warming. So there's three reasons to deal with it. The state tried to deal with it. Here we in 2014. Here we are several years later. Not so good. The state put together a program that, as we say, helps the utilities sort of in advance. It's called an accelerated cost recovery, which is a way of paying these guys for addressing gas leaks. But it turns out that hidden inside the bill is a distinction that the state will pay for you for the utility to replace, that is, dig up the old pipe, put in a new pipe, all right? But the state, I think, will not pay for you to repair a pipe, that is to say, put a kind of a sleeve inside the existing pipe, and it's a whole lot cheaper, but the utility doesn't get paid for that. So the utility likes to dig the pipes up at a great cost, and the whole program is not actually succeeding. So with that statement, me wandering around an issue, I thought we would talk to somebody who actually knows what they're talking about as opposed to me. And so we are happy to be speaking with the author of the report that has kicked all this discussion off, Dr. Dori Seavey, who's an applied research economist based here in Massachusetts, where she focuses on complex systems and using data to get to good conclusions. Dori, welcome. Thank you so much for coming on our show.
Thank you so much, Ted. I'm happy to be here.
So I tried to paint a picture that goes from this huge government, state of Massachusetts program, the GSEP program, down to this weird little distinction between repairing the gas pipes in front of your house versus replacing the gas pipes in front of the house. Tell me the story. Why is this something we ought to be talking about? How does it fit into this greater public policy? I mean, it's a long way from A to B here.
Well, the repair versus replace debate, if you will, is really an interesting way to get into the whole problem of what we're going to do with our natural gas infrastructure in Massachusetts. Massachusetts has the second oldest natural gas infrastructure in the country, and we've had programs that have attempted to address the leak-prone pipe in our system. They've been active really since the late 2000s, and GSEP is one more manifestation of the legislature's concern with addressing this aging infrastructure. Now, back in 2009, we weren't faced, our course right now is really clear with respect to marching towards a net zero low carbon economy. That is the context in which all this needs to be seen. And so I set out to understand the GSEP program, which is not particularly easy to understand, and then to assess its what it has achieved to date, and then to look forward and see where it seemed to be going. So in terms of just explaining this repair versus replace issue, there are a couple of things I want to correct from your intro. First of all, gas companies do repair, they do pay for repairing, and they do pay for replacing. Ultimately, those costs are passed on to the ratepayers, to the gas companies. So for repairing, if you go out today, your National Grid Boston, and a customer reports a smell outside their house, they go out, they have a piece of a tool to analyze what kind of leak it is. Let's say it's determined that it's a hazardous leak that has safety concerns with it. That leak is likely to be repaired within a couple of days. And it will be expensed to the operations and maintenance part of the budget of that company. If it's determined that it needs to be replaced, then that will be a capital expenditure, which will be paid for not out of this year's budget, but will be put on the balance sheet. In other words, you replace a pipe, you create an asset, you put that on the balance sheet, and then the ratepayers, us, the customers, pay for it over the life of the pipe. And the gas companies earn a rate of return on that new asset. And so the gas companies—
Maybe, Dory, just to interrupt, just again, the mind-numbing thing here is that the ratepayer is paying for all this hardware in the street.
Correct.
Basically, it's almost like you're paying a monthly charge to have that thing outside of your house in the whole entire big system, regardless of how much gas you actually use, right?
That's correct.
Interesting. I mean, that's okay. I'm sorry. Forgive me for interrupting. I hope
that's absolutely correct. And right now, what's being put on the back of gas customers in Massachusetts is basically a huge infrastructure investment project that will, if it's allowed to go forward, will ultimately replace up to 30% of the pipeline today. And that is forecast to last until about 2039. I don't think it can possibly finish by then. And I've estimated that the total cost of this pipe replacement will be on the order of the Big Dig. So it'll exceed $20 billion in today's dollars and could go up past $30 billion. So, and this will be money spent largely to replace pipe, not repair it. GCEP goes to the core of how gas companies today make money. Yes, gas companies sell us energy that heats our home, runs our dishwashers, our dryers, but gas companies are very much in the pipe replacement business. It's core to their profitability. And so GCEP incentivizes the replacement of pipe over the repair of pipe, with one important exception. GCEP does incentivize the repair of what's called significant environmental impact leaks. All right. So there are advocates and community advocates that worked really hard to get that exception introduced. The acronym for these leaks is called SEIs, and soon there will be a public report about how that program is going. But some of these SEI leaks release huge amounts of methane into the climate. So they're not the type of leaks that make people's houses explode, but they're really bad for the environment. And we should be very grateful to the advocates and the environmental nonprofits that work to try and stem that problem. So there is an important exception. However, at the same time, as I said, most of the cost of GCEP is about replacing pipes. And what's perverse about this, and economists use the word perverse to just mean it doesn't make much rational sense from an economic or financial standpoint. What's perverse about this is that repairing pipes can often be much more cost effective. So the average repair cost for a leak in Massachusetts across all the companies is about $4,000. They're typically, every year, there are about, let's say, 15,000 new leaks. And then every year starts with a backlog of approximately 15,000 leaks. Okay. So if we went out there, and obviously some leaks need to be treated with replacement. In other words, if you come across a section of unprotected steel pipe that's just falling apart. You can't really repair that. You need to replace that section. But there are tens of thousands of other leaks that could be addressed with particularly current state-of-the-art repair technology. There are now little robots that can go down in there and find exactly where the joints are that are leaking, and they can seal them up. There are advanced technologies now for inserting a sleeve into the deteriorating pipe. And these may not, they extend the life of those pipes, which to me makes a lot of sense at a time when we're trying to figure out how to navigate away from fossil fuels, how we're exploring, you know, what part of our current gas infrastructure might need to be decommissioned in order to meet the Commonwealth's net zero goal. So if we went out there today and spent a $4,000 repairing all the existing leaks, we'd be done with an expenditure of about $120 million. Instead, this year, we will be spending over $500 million to replace pipe. Really? And we will be paying for that certainly over your and my lifetimes. But I have a grandson who's one, and he'll be 80 in the year 2100, and he's still going to be getting a bill for this stuff, the way the system is currently structured.
I'm sitting here with my jaw on the floor trying to just imagine. I mean, let me rewind. You said that we would need to replace, this is about a few minutes ago, 30% of the pipes in the state. That project to replace the pipes, make them new assets that we pay for, probably wouldn't be finished until 2039 at the cost of $30 billion. And any climate hawk, that's chilling. Any climate activist would look and say, oh my God, that is completely the wrong thing to spend $30 billion on, but, you know, creating new assets that have to be then paid for over an additional 30 years after 2039. I mean, that's, and then the other sort of fact that is, I think is, correct me if I'm wrong, you're saying that there's 15,000 leaks in any given year, right?
New leaks, right?
So that every year, even if you fixed everything, every 15,000 leaks that came this year, next year there'd be another 15,000 leaks, right? So this is just this ongoing thing because the pipelines are in the ground. There's frost heaves. There's temperature variation. I mean, it's just a very dynamic thing. So the idea that you're going to have a somehow get to a leak-free system is not going to happen. So we're chasing this thing.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I mean, that's.
One point I would add, I hope that all of your listeners can also start to learn about hydrogen and the idea of blending hydrogen with natural gas at low levels and injecting that fuel into the pipelines, because that appears to be the future, the solution, if you will, the strategy that the gas companies are banking on. In other words, they're in part, I think, using GCEP to get new pipes in the ground that are more compatible with, that can sustain low levels of blended hydrogen. And hydrogen, of course, is another explosive gas. It's actually even more explosive than natural gas. It's a smaller, lighter molecule that's more likely to leak. And so it's just really important for all consumers, particularly those of us with an environmental heart and aspirations, to really pay attention and take the time to learn about hydrogen and to follow and be vigilant about how the gas companies are thinking about this.
Dory, that you have touched, you've now connected up two big issues for me. We've recently put up podcasts about blue hydrogen, gray hydrogen. I'll be more colorful than you, but I mean, there's this huge scam going on by the utilities to add hydrogen. Now, get this, They're going to tell you hydrogen is green, but the hydrogen they're going to want to add is derived from methane, right? And the creation of, someone described to me that the if you take green hydrogen, which is truly made with renewable energy, right, truly green, and you mix that into the methane in your pipeline, it's like mixing a single malt scotch into a hooch, right? Pouring it in the campus, you know, the part of the punch bowl. It's insane. But the utilities are going to talk about hydrogen as what a great future it is. And it's a scam, dear listener. It's a scam. Read up. Blue hydrogen, gray hydrogen are bad for the environment. And we've got a show. I'll put a link in the show notes about just, you know, you should. Anyway, I don't want to get too passionate about it because since you mentioned it, it's craziness. But what you're saying is that on top of all the other badnesses, the utilities kind of see this GSEP pipe replacement program as the thin edge of the wedge to get hydrogen compatible pipes.
I think so. In the 2020 GSEP proceedings that were held before the state's regulatory authority, which is called the Department of Public Utilities, the Attorney General, who really advocates for the gas customers, asked the following question. Are you, Mr. Gas Company, considering introducing hydrogen into the distribution system? And basically, five of the six investor-owned companies said yes. GSEP pipe, the pipe that you and I are paying for, is conducive to hydrogen injection.
Oh my God.
The answer to the Attorney General's question.
So the what we've got is a system where, correct me if I'm wrong, Dory, is a system where the utilities have an incentive to do the most expensive thing, which is to replace pipelines, because then, dear customer, you get to pay for that new pipeline as opposed to repairing the pipeline, because when you repair the pipeline, it's just sort of an operating cost, right? They want to replace these pipelines because that's how they make their money. It's potentially a way to talk about hydrogen, which is this whole other horrible thing. This is buried in this sort of distinction between repairing pipelines, replacing pipelines is buried deep in the policy, right? And that the only way forward is some sort of legislative change to the GSEP program that would recognize this kind of thing, right? And there's some moves to do that. I mean, and not to go down a whole other path, but I mean, how would you address, how would you change this? You painted this horrible picture. What can people do?
Here are the two words, triage, and the second word is transition. So the first thing we need to do is triage the repair and replacement of pipe. We should aggressively and strategically repair the worst leaks, the largest, the most hazardous, the most climate damaging. We can't walk away from the gas system. I mean, we have a short-term enormous problem in terms of dealing with the pipe leaks and the safety and environmental issues. But we need stronger leak classification systems, and we need better systems to classify the pipes that we do have. And then we need regulations that force the companies to monitor the repairs that they make. You know, because you can fix a little hole right here, but then five more can pop up, or maybe the patch you put on was temporary. And these repairs need to be done. We need to incentivize the successful pair of these leaks, and we need to incentivize the gas companies to use state-of-the-art repair technology because it exists. And we also have the capacity to monitor the entire gas system for leaks up to four times a year if we chose to do that. Right now, it happens with much less frequency. So that's triage. And then the second emphasis is about transition. And that has to do with redirecting GSEP's huge financial power away from shoring up the gas system and instead toward investments in clean and renewable energy. And I know in the future, you're going to have a podcast about the future of heat legislation, but that's a really exciting piece of legislation that has transformative potential in terms of addressing both triage and transition.
Super. So dear listener, if you're looking for something to do, call your Google Future of Heat bill here in Massachusetts and get on the case. Find out, talk to your representatives about that. That's the way forward. So Dory, what I'll do is I'll put up links to these various topics on the blog. The blog will be at massclimateaction.org/blog. There'll be hot links there that you can, for example, we'll put up the GSEP report that you've authored. If you have questions, dear listener, about this show or the podcast in general, send us an email to podcast@massclimateaction.net. Let us know what we ought to be talking about. You're probably listening to this show on your smartphone using one of the modern podcast distribution apps. Please ask all of your friends to listen to us on their modern podcast distribution app. Just search for Climate Minute, Massachusetts Climate Action. I want to thank our good friend D.R. Tucker for his continuing research support. We want to close where we always close, by saying that we recognize the necessity of personal accountability for our actions, that we accept responsibility for building a durable future, and that we believe it's our patriotic duty as citizens to speak out. Because of that, we have to insist that the United States transform its energy sector over the next decade under a just and equitable plan that uses regulation, investment, and a price on carbon that respects environmental justice communities. So, Dory, thank you so much for your insight and wisdom here. It's been a fascinating show.
Thank you very much, Ted. It's great to be with you.
Thanks to everyone for listening. We'll talk again soon. Bye-bye.
Very cool.